risen. We're reading Ephesians chapter 4 today. We'll wrap up this passage we've been in for a while. We'll read verse 15 and 16. We started last time. Paul says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into all things, into him who is the head, Jesus Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So Paul has spent a lot of time, and we have spent many weeks and many Sundays, talking about the subject of spiritual growth, growing up, maturity, a very important subject. Growing up, being a mature Christian should be the goal of everybody here today. If you're not a Christian, your goal is to become a Christian and then start this growth. We don't expect a child to be born and then to be a baby for the rest of your life. We've used the phrase several times, Apostle Paul uses, and he says, grow up. Any of you that have had children, or maybe if you remember back when you were children, it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of effort to raise a child. Children have more energy than we do. We're long since tired after we've come home from work or after all day if the mom stays home with the child. And the child, you want him to go to sleep already because you're all tired. And the child still has a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy in the church for the pastors, for the teachers, for the church leadership, to instill into you the spiritual truths that are spiritual food for you. That if you will take the spiritual food and meditate on it and absorb what the Lord gives you, it would turn into spiritual energy that you could use to grow up and then live effective Christian lives, which is the goal that Paul wants us to do. So the analogy is to a family or to a body that Paul wants to show us here, especially in verse 16. If you're a parent, you know very well that there is not just one single correct way to raise up a child. Actually, there is one way. It's God's way, but God's way is his word. Teach a child or train up a child in the way he should live, and when he grows up, he will not depart from it. When you plant a tree, you stake it off, you tie it off so that it grows up straight. And that is the goal of our Christian maturity. The goal of a person growing up from a baby to an adulthood is so that someday, eventually, we as parents hope that our children, when they leave our home, when they go live on their own, when they start their own families, that they could take the truths that we have taught them and live them, reproduce them. And that's what Paul said last time in verse 15 when he says that we are to speak the truth in love. In the Greek, that means to act out, to demonstrate with love what this life is all about. Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, says, the things that you have learned from me. So first of all, Paul acknowledges the fact that he was faithful in teaching. He did his job. He says to Timothy, I was your teacher, I was your pastor, I taught you the things that I received from God. Now the things that you received from me, the things that you have heard, take these things and pass them on to somebody else. What does that mean? That means that Timothy grew up. He was no longer a baby in Jesus Christ. He was a young man. He was possibly in his 30s. He may have been 30 or 35 or 40 years old by this time. But he had spent many years with Apostle Paul, learning the things that Paul taught him. And Paul says, now that you are growing up, now do and imitate me. Do as I did to you. Find somebody that is faithful and teach them. And if you've come here today and you've learned something, go home, practice it. Find somebody this week and teach them what God taught you from the Word today. That is the goal of Christianity. Notice when we read 2 Timothy 2:1, when Paul is writing to Timothy, he says, the things that you learned from me, find a faithful man, teach him so that he will grow up and he will mature And as a mature Christian, he will pass along the faith to yet another spiritual Christian generation. Four generations Paul is talking about. I have taught you, Timothy. You, Timothy, teach somebody else. And he will teach somebody else. And in that way, the gospel came down to us from the apostles 2,100 years later. 21 centuries. A faithful proclamation of the word of God. People growing up. People maturing. And then not keeping it to themselves, but passing them on with love. Acting out their love, their life in love that God calls us to do. I don't know if you've ever been in a race where you have to pass a baton to somebody. I'm sure you've at least watched in the Olympics or maybe at your school or college where you study, you may have seen the race. The job of the person running the race is to start at a certain point and go to a certain point. He's got a very specific job to do. He has to put his whole energy into it and get there as quickly as he possibly can. He is to run for his life, as if his life depends on it. But very important, and even more important than getting there faster than anybody else that's running the race, it's very important that while he's running, number one, that he not drop the baton. Because if he drops it, by the time he picks it up, he's disqualified. And secondly, everybody else will pass him. You have to hold on to it as if your life depends on it. And when you get to the point where you're going to, somebody there is waiting for you. And you are to very carefully pass it on to them. Now, once you pass it on to them, the baton is no longer in your hands. It's in somebody else's hands. Paul tells Timothy, find a faithful person. Find a Christian or find somebody else that you can teach and pass that on to them. To the next generation. For some of you, it may be your children, your family, your husband, your wife. For some of you, it may be where you work. For some of us, it's standing before you as your pastors and teachers to teach you. Okay? But the fact is, you are to take what you have received and pass it on. Apostle Paul, many times in writing, he says, what I received, I pass on to you. And what is it that he received? Paul says, I pass on to you only that what I received from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul didn't pass on his own philosophy or his own ideas. He passed on the word of God. Paul tells Timothy, study, learn the word, be faithful in the word, and then pass it on to faithful people. And that's what God is calling us here in verse 15, speaking and acting and living the love. You know, some people can truly speak with love, but they don't pass the truth on. There has to be a balance between speaking the truth of God that sometimes is confrontational. Sometimes when we give a person the word of God, it convicts them of their sin. It talks about a lifestyle that is unworthy, ungodly. If you talk to a person that's living in sin, loving him is not going to bring him to salvation until he realizes and recognizes and acknowledges the sin in his life. And only the Word of God can do that. Sadly, we have a movement in the world today, especially in our country. It's called churches that are seeker-friendly. We, after all, we want to evangelize the world. We want to bring people to church. We want people to hear about the love of Jesus, that Jesus died on the cross. And so we don't want to offend them so that maybe they won't come. And so many churches today have stopped talking about things like the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on the cross, the substitutionary atoning death of Jesus Christ, that he died on our behalf and that God put our sins upon him. You know, we just talk about love, about the fact that God loved the world and he sent Jesus as a little baby in a manger. That does not save people. What saves people is when we speak to them, not just in love, but we speak the truth in love. The full truth. Paul says, I spoke to you the full truth. The whole gospel. The sound gospel. Peter writes, he says, I was never negligent to remind you of the things in the word of God. He says, and I will continue to remind you until I die. And Peter writing, it's as if people said, Peter, we already know this. You already told us. You've already taught us these things. And Peter says, I want to be sure that you don't forget these things. He says, and until I die, I will continue to remind you. And as a father and a grandfather, I'm always telling my kids and my grandkids, I'm going to keep telling you until I die. And I hope you listen, and I hope you follow, and I pray that you would believe these things. And so Paul is saying we speak the truth in love. And the result of this, verse 16, he says, we grow into Jesus Christ. We become like Jesus Christ. Every day when you look in the mirror, you see not your face, but you see Jesus Christ. And you see your life more and more and more like the life of Jesus Christ. Now here it says that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. All of us that have a body have a head. But having a head is only half the story. It's what's inside that's important. Every head has a brain inside. And it is the brain that is the power of the body. It is the brain that tells you to get up or sit down or to walk or to raise your hand or sit down or talk or whatever it is you do. Now, the church is made up as a body of many different bodies, parts. There's hands and feet and eyes and ears. But there's one head. And the head of the body, Paul tells us, is Jesus Christ. Paul returns to talking about the body of Christ being made up of many individual members. And so reminding us that Jesus Christ is the head. He is the brain of the church. He is in charge of the church. He directs his church. He leads his church. How? Through the word spoken to you by the gift or the gifts that God gives to the church, which is your spiritual leaders. And then God gives each of you a spiritual gift that you can use to reach others also, or to minister in the church. And so this power to grow that Paul talks about in this verse, he talks about the body being joined together, all the little parts of the body, the joints. Some of us have joints that hurt. They give us meaning to what the pain in the body is. You see, as a body in the church, some of us experience pain. Some of us experience joy. We are to participate with each other in the pain we feel and in the joy we feel. And every joint, it grows together by the power of the head that is Jesus Christ. Now, different parts of the body grow at different speeds and have different functions. But every part of the body has to grow. When a baby is born, you've seen some abnormalities where a child might have an abnormally large head or a part of the body that isn't fully grown. Okay? There is something wrong there. The body of Christ has to grow from the power that God gives it, but every part of the body needs to grow. Otherwise, the church will be unhealthy. We are to be in Jesus Christ. Remember John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will have a harvest. You will bring forth fruit. Jesus says, I want you to have a lot of fruit, a lot of harvest. That's what Paul is talking about here, that we would grow up. He says, into the head. He says, what causes the growth at the end of verse 16? Jesus Christ, he causes this growth. He is the power for the church. He enables us to live and to walk our life in love. Blessed is the man that is in Jesus Christ. The tree in Psalm 1 that the psalmist talks about, it says that in its own time, at the right time, it will have a harvest. Every one of you today that is here that claim to belong to Jesus Christ, if you are in Jesus Christ, you will have fruit in your life. If you don't have fruit in your life, then you're not in Jesus Christ. That's the test in love to do this. Paul talks about this fruit many times. But this process does not happen overnight. That tree in Psalm 1, it was planted by somebody by the river. And it took many years to grow up. But in its time, it had a harvest. It had fruit. If you're grounded in the word, you'll be like Paul to Timothy, teaching the word. And in your time, you'll be able to take what you have learned and pass it on to somebody. You might be like John the Baptist, who grew up, and his one sermon was to announce the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That was the goal of John the Baptist. That's why he was born and he grew up. And shortly after that message, he got his head taken off for proclaiming the truth to Herod. Okay. Now, some people, like Paul, they got to preach their whole life, and many, 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 many people came to the Lord through him. You don't know who God will call you, but today you are here because God is teaching you. God wants you to grow, to mature, to be an adult, and to be ready when the time comes to pass that baton of faith on to somebody else. John 13, 34 and 35, it's done in love. Jesus says, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. This concludes this portion of this text. And next week in verse 17, Paul goes on and begins to use a new analogy of the Christian and of the church, and he calls it a new man and compares it to our old man. And we'll look at that next week, God willing. Amen.